I was thinking the other day about this new year of new beginning. And I was thinking about it, and I said, you know, for those who are Bible scholars, you know that the number 8 symbolizes what? Resurrection, regeneration, new beginning. I was thinking of new beginning. I said, of all the things that God could have called this year, you know, he could have called it year of favor or year of power or anything. He could have said, even is the year of fasting. How would that be? A whole year of fasting. I mean, he could have called it anything. The possibilities are endless. He could have called it anything. But he chose to call it your year and my year of new beginnings. You see, when God speaks, when he speaks, it's not because he has to say something. When he speaks, it's because he has something to say. And anything he says, there's a purpose attached to what he says. You cannot live life without a purpose. You're just useless. You cannot live life without a purpose. So when he brings the word, he has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for your life. The Bible said at some point, God was so angry with the children of Israel. So he said to them, you know, I'm not going to go with you. I'll leave you. Just go and die. And Moses pleaded with God, said, God, what are the nations going to say? What are they going to say that you brought them here and abandoned them? It's no good, Lord. What are they going to say? And so sometimes when God saves you, when he gives you a purpose, it's for his own interest. It is in his own interest that he saves you. His own interest that he saves you. He has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And he revealed that purpose to you. See, when we come to church, what I like about coming to church is not just coming to know God. But the minute you get to know God, then you get to know who you really are in him. That's right. That's what it is. Because until you really know God, you don't know who you are. But once you get to know him, then you know who you are. You know, there's a reason why God releases his word every single year. He could have chosen to be silent, say, look, it's a year of new beginning, but I'm not going to release it. There's a reason why he releases it. It's the desire, it is his desire to see you have a new beginning. That's why he releases it. And the other reason is this. You remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil? When the devil came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to turn into bread. And what did Jesus say? It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That should tell you that your very existence depends on the word that God speaks. Your very existence depends on it. He tempted Jesus again and said to Jesus, he took Jesus to a pinnacle and said, if you are the Son of God, why don't you fall down? Just jump, because God said he will send his angels concerning you to protect you. And Jesus said to him, you cannot test. The Bible says you should not test the Lord your God. So he crossed that barrier. Every single move Jesus made, there was a temptation. And then after he crossed that, he said again, well, look at all these kingdoms and everything that I have. It's been granted to me. Why don't you just bow down and worship me and I'll give it to you? And Jesus said to him, Bible says, so God says you should worship me only and only me. You shouldn't worship any other gods. And at that, the devil left. Now, there's a reason why God used scripture. There's a reason why Jesus used scripture. Because he was showing us the authority the word has over the devil. That's why he's showing that the authority the word has over the devil. And so when God gives you a word, he's giving you authority over the devil. And that is why he gives us. If you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And I'm reading from verse 10. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. It says this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, So is my word that goes out of my mouth. I like the way God gives illustrations when he's bringing his word. For instance, he says, for God so loved the world. And there was a corresponding action. Because he loved the world, he gave us his son. And he's given us a picture here of how his word works. He says it's like the rain that comes down. That comes down and never goes back to him until it accomplishes whatever he says it should do. That is faithfulness. Now watch this. It says, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And so when God reveals his word, it's the desire in him coming out so that you know his desire concerning your life. It says, accomplish the desire in you, in him coming out. And it also says it's for a purpose. His word is for a purpose. Maybe you're here today, you are saying, well, he's released his word. He says his purpose, that his purpose is that I have a new beginning. It's almost August and nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. It's still the same since the beginning of the year. Nothing has changed. In fact, even last year was better than this year, because at least last year I was healthy. I didn't have any diagnosis from the doctor. The list goes on and on and on. Last year my bank account was this. It was good. It was this. Last year I didn't have all these issues. And we say all of this. We say all of this. All of that. And maybe it's true. It's true that last year you went through all of that. But listen to what God says. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. Look at this. It says, do not say, why were the old days better than these? Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? Don't say that, because it's not a wise question, for it is not wise to ask such questions. If you read the amplified version of it, of that, it says, for such a question does not come from wisdom. It doesn't come from wisdom. Do not say the old days. Do not, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise, or because wisdom, or because of wisdom that you ask of this. It doesn't come from wisdom, says the Amplified. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the quality of having experience. What experience do you have to come to a conclusion compared to God? What experience do you have to come to any conclusion? The only person who has the right to come to any sort of conclusion is God, because he knows the difference between the beginning and the end. And so he's the only one who's able to come to a conclusion, because he knows the end from the beginning. Who are you? He knows. And so when he concludes, he knows why he's concluded. It says, do not say, why are the old days better than this? Where is that? He said, it doesn't, a statement like that does not come from wisdom. If it doesn't come from wisdom, then where is it coming from? It's coming from your knowledge. Because if you've obviously compared and you've seen that what you're going through is not as good as what you were before. And so your knowledge is telling you this. What is your knowledge compared to the knowledge of God? What is it? It's nothing. Compared to what is your knowledge? Nothing. You see, what knowledge that is? Knowledge knows what to say all the time. God says one thing, your knowledge says another. God says one thing, your knowledge says another. Knowledge knows what to say, but wisdom knows when to say it and how to say it. That is wisdom. That is wisdom. Say, do not say, listen, your present situation, it's not your permanent destination at all. It's not. And so do not come to that conclusion. The Bible says in Proverbs, it's only a fool who concludes when he hasn't even heard the matter yet. And when you begin to live based on your knowledge, then you're living your life based on memories instead of by faith and by the word of God. And so when God releases his word, he wants you to live by the word, not by your memories. Not by your memories at all. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? If you say that, then clearly you don't know the story of the Bible, where God says, tomorrow by this time, things will change. Things will change. Can I have Job 42, please? Job 42, verse 12. Job chapter 42, verse 12. Job 42, Job chapter 42, verse 12. It says, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life than the former. And if you know anything about this man, his former part was good. It was very. He was the greatest man, the Bible says, in all of the East. He had a lot of money, and yet his latter part was greater than his former. The Bible says the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. The glory will be. It says the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former. And so who are you to say that these days are no good compared to the past? You can't. Not until you see where you end. I said and I'll say it again. Your present situation is not your permanent destination. And it will never be. God will take you from glory to glory. Now look at what happens. It says this. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 4,000 sheep. 4,000 sheep before that. 14 rather. Before that he had 7. He said he had what? 6,000 camels. Before that he had 3. And 1,000 yoke of oxen. Before that he had 500. So you see that everything is doubled. For every single day that the devil harasses you, believe me, God will give you a double portion for what he's done. For every single day the devil harasses you, he will give you a double portion of that. Let's go to the next verse. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Keren Hapuch. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. Oh, may you live to see your children's and children's 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 to the fifth and sixth generation. Please do not conclude when you don't know what God is doing. Some of you don't even know what you're going to eat when you get home. So you can't even conclude that God hasn't been fair to you. He's still in the process. He's working on you. Believe me, I said it is in your own interest that you do well in life. He says, look to the rock from which you were hewn. The rock is Jesus. You were hewn from him. So a part of you belongs to Jesus. So without you, Jesus is not complete. Because look to the rock from which you... The Bible says he's the head, you are the body. We are members of his body. You think if a member of your body is not well, you'll be happy? No. Not at all. It is in interest that he makes sure that you succeed. It's just that sometimes we are so stubborn that we want to go our own way. But that is not his will for your life. That is never his will. Shall we go back to Isaiah 55? Isaiah 55 verse 10. God is good. And all the time. It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering it, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seeds to the sower and bread for the eater. As the rain and the snow. I was reading and I'm thinking, as the rain, he's saying, this is my word, as the rain and the snow come from where? Heaven. Not the sky. It comes from heaven. Now, heaven is a place. Heaven has power. Heaven is a realm that is higher than this realm. And so the rain that comes down is not just any ordinary rain. There's something supernatural about that rain coming down. And God is saying, this is how my word is. This is how my word is. It's not just coming from anywhere. And even he says, as the rain. It's not as rain. As the. It's not just any ordinary rain. There's something special about this rain that will not return to God until it accomplishes what God has sent it. And he says, that is my word. And so the word that God has given you, this is your year of new beginning, it's not just any word. It's coming from the throne room of God. It's the kind of word that has the ability to override any natural circumstances because of where it's coming from. It's not coming, it's not just from anywhere at all. No. It's coming from a special place. Call heaven. It carries the atmosphere that heaven has. That's what it does. It carries it. And so the minute it hits the ground, anytime heaven touches earth, there is transformation. There is resurrection. There is regeneration. There is new life. And it's coming. He's saying, that's my word. I've released it. And there's no way that word that I've released to you is returning to me unless it accomplishes what I've sent it. That is called faithfulness. 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 It says, so is my word that goes out of my out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. It will accomplish what I desire. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The word carries an accomplishment. And so you need to look into your life and say, Lord, where is the accomplishment? Where is my accomplishment? I wonder how many people really and truly wake up every morning and say, Lord, thank you for today. I thank you that today is a day of new beginning for me. Most people don't do that. But as you confess the word every day over your life, it's like rain falling. You try stopping the rain and see what happens. Try. When it starts raining, you try stopping and see. You can't. You can't. If you stay, you might even end up getting pneumonia. And so when God releases the word, who is the devil to stand in the way? But if you don't confess it, then you're giving the devil a filled day. And so you need to speak that word that God has given you, that it's the year of new beginning over your life every single day. You need to be looking for those accomplishments that he has promised you. Those of you who travel a lot, Uncle T, you travel a lot. Sometimes you do transatlantic flights and you have to change somewhere. You need a visa, some sort of clearance to go through one country before you get to the other. The word that God gives us at the beginning of the year is like the clearance you need to go through the year. It's like a spiritual passport that you need. You see, what a passport does is this. It reveals who you are, and it gives you clearance to go through. And so when God gives you a word, that is what he's giving you to go through the year. Because believe me, at every stop or at every single checkpoint, the enemy is there to challenge you. He is there to challenge you, like he did even with Jesus. But Jesus had the word, and when he quoted it, believe me, the devil had to flee away. Every single checkpoint, why do you think that demon, Prince of Persia or whatever, why do you think he was able to stop Daniel's prayer? Because listen, that prayer, the answer was coming through his territory. And so he had the right to stop because it was coming through his territory. So he had the right to stop him. This is my territory. If you don't have clearance to go through a territory, the enemy will detain you every time. And so the word of God that he gives is your passport, it's your clearance to go through every single thing that you face. That is your passport, divine passport you need. You need to believe me. And so you need to wake up every morning and recite this thing that God has said, that is the year of new beginning. Because otherwise, what clearance are you using? How are you going through? He will stop you. He will stop you. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? You don't have any clearance. Who are you? I will detain you until reinforcement comes. I will. And he will. God had to send reinforcement. He sent reinforcement in the form of an angel. But there are sometimes in the realm of the spirit, there are some demonic entities who are bigger than certain angels. Believe me. When God said to Moses, I will send my angel to go with you, Moses said, never. If your presence does not go with me, there is no way I'm going. Because when you have the presence of God, which is also the word of God, nothing can stop you. Absolutely nothing. And so he chose the word of God even over angels. Over angels. And that is why you need that word. You need that clearance to go through. It's your passport. It's your passport. If you feel detained up until this point, then maybe chances are you are not using the spiritual passport God has given you to go through this day. He doesn't release his word. I say, God, when God speaks, it's not because he has to say something. When he speaks, it's because he has something to say. And he knows that at some point, the enemy, especially when he knows that word is from God, will try and stop you. So you need that clearance to go through this year. So when you wake up every morning, say, Father, thank you for my spiritual passport. Thank you that, Lord, I have clearance to go anywhere I want within your will for my life. when he tries to attack you with sickness, you take out that clearance he's giving. You say, Satan, you're trespassing. I've got clearance. And he knows the word of God. So he will just flee. There's a story of a guy in the Bible, Jacob. He was 60 years old when he had to leave his father's house. At least 60. His father's house, his mother's house, his brother, his friends, his family. And start all over again. You imagine starting life all over again at 60. You just imagine. And he was having to leave because why? He had deceived his dad and stole the blessing of his brother Esau. And so the Bible says he gets to a certain place. The place even hasn't got a name. He says he gets to a certain place, and because he's tired, he falls asleep on a stone. But he uses a stone as a rock for his pillow, uses a stone for his pillow, and then falls asleep. And in the sleep, he sees a stairway going from here into the heavens. And he sees angels going up and down the stairway. And on top of the stairway is God himself. And basically what God does is God tells him everything he's already told his dad. That he will bless him, he will prosper him, he will make him father of many nations. And it happened. It happened. And when God told Jacob that, the Bible says, well, he wrestled with God. He wrestled with him the whole night. And he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. That's what he said. Now, don't forget that the word of God, I was listening to this testimony by this guy who went to heaven and met Jesus. And he said when he was speaking to Jesus, he saw something about Jesus, that he's very careful with his words, that he says what he means and means what he says. Jesus and his word are so together that you cannot even separate them. So many times we think we have God's word. We need God's word to possess us, not us possess the word. The word of God must possess us. They are so close that you cannot separate them. And so when Jacob is fighting with God, he's fighting with the word of God. He said, if you don't bless me, I will not let you go. In other words, Lord, you've released the word. Thank you, but I'm going to hold on to it until I see the manifestation of what you've said. That is what he means. I'm not going to let go of this word until I see the manifestation. And he did what? He held on to it until, guess what? He was blessed. He was blessed. When this word came that it's a year of new beginning, I said to God, look, if I had my way, every part of me will have a new beginning, even my head. I want a new beginning even for my every part. But sometimes you need to ask God, which areas in my life do you want to see a new beginning? Because sometimes it's not every area of your life that needs a new beginning. Sometimes certain areas just need resurrection. Resurrection, not a new beginning. Something like maybe your relationship with God has grown cold. And so you need to resurrect that relationship. Just resurrect it. Not everything needs a new beginning. No, you need to say, God, which areas of my life really need a new beginning? Sometimes it's just your relationship with God. It says, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and him with me. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, not the knock, my voice. Now, there's a difference. Sometimes when we hear a knock, we just open the door to anything at all. It's wrong. You hear the knock, cook, 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 then you open the door. Cook. No, I stand at the door and knock. You need to hear the voice of God behind that opportunity that's come. Because when opportunity knocks, sometimes it's not just every door you have to open. You need to hear the voice behind that knock before you open the door. Most people just open the door to anything at all that comes. No. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, not the knock, I will come in and eat with him. He's going to come to your level first. And then once he finishes eating with you, then you eat with him. That's a higher level. God will always meet you where you are, but he will never leave you where you are. He will take you up and up and up. Hallelujah. Always. You always try and come to your level. Say, come and let's reason together. Come, let's reason together. And then you say, okay, we've heard you. Try mine. Try mine. Nobody goes back to mediocre when they've tasted excellence. Believe me. Shall we be on our feet? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I always say that every single time God releases His word, it's because He wants to do something in your life. He wants to. He really wants to. That is why He releases His word. He doesn't do anything without purpose. Everything He has, He does, has a purpose to it. And so if you're not seeing, sometimes when you're going through certain things, the Bible says Jacob woke up and said, wow, the presence of God was here and I never knew it. Sometimes you need to say, God, where is your hand in all of this? Where is your hand in all of this? I want to know, where is your hand? He said to Moses, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I will personally harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will change his mind and pursue the Israelites. And then when he tries to follow them, I'll get the sea closed and kill him so that the Egyptians will know that there is a God in Israel. It wasn't about you at all. It was so that his name will be glorified. It's really nothing to do. It's so that God's name will be glorified. Nothing to do with you. So sometimes when it feels like you are right in the middle of something bad, say to God, God, where is your hand in all this? Because for all you know, maybe he's trying to do something that will bring glory to the name of God. And yet you try, you fast, you scream, you shout, you are praying against something that God is doing. Just because you feel like you're in the middle of something that's not desirable. Father, I thank you so much for every single soul present here, oh God. I thank you that, Lord, nobody really encounters you and go back the same, oh God. Show your faithfulness, Lord. Your Bible says, your word, oh God, that comes from your mouth is like rain that comes down. It does not return to you until it accomplishes every purpose that, Lord, you've sent it. Lord, may every word you've given to every single person here accomplish their purpose. We are standing on your faithfulness this morning, knowing that, Lord, you are not man that you should lie, or the son of man that you should change your mind. Have you not said it? And will you not do it? I thank you, Father. And I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God thanks for His word. Amen.